Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, the man who knows everything about the inside of a courtroom, TV host and commentator and author and reporter, Dan Abrams, is going to join us and play a little hypothetical with him, a little Fauci hypothetical. Also, we'll do the news as well. First, there's J.B. Weld, world's strongest bond. Pros have trusted it for over 50 years. But why hire a pro when you can look like a pro with J.B. Weld? We're proud to have J.B. Weld Epoxy Adhesive as a sponsor. I personally know the owner. He's good people, even though he's one guy. DIY projects, auto, crafts, plumbing, marine, and more use on metal, wood, plastics, glass, ceramics, even just keep in your kitchen drawer or put out in the craft drawer or in the garage or just put it everywhere like I do. Use it to fix Sonny's shoe a little while back. Stromers use it on his wet saw. Stuff works. J.B. Weld acquired Herculiner, the original DIY truck bed liner. So if you're looking for the world's strongest truck bed liner, Herculiner has you covered. Right, Dawson?
J.B. Weld is available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, Napa, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And remember, J.B. Weld epoxy products are proudly made in the USA. J.B. Weld, world's strongest bond.
And now, a totally innocuous word that sounds dirty when Mike Dawson says it.
Spread.
Ew. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, Dan Abrams is going to join us. You know him from, well, everything. From the last, 25 years on TV. We'll talk about his new show. Gino Doolittle, Nancy Grace. Oh. I have a Fauci conspiracy theory that I floated to Mark Garagos so on Reasonable Doubt. So
you came up with this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I floated to Mark, so Mark reminded me of Dan because they're court guys, and we'll see. Is Dan...
It says, sounds like a Dwayne dumb guy called a lawyer. Hey, he's a court guy.
He's a court guy. Hey, Dan.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guy.
I didn't realize I was doing video, so I just had to sort of, you know, not have my back.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. Well, this is going to be a real easy debate.
Well, he locked up, so maybe we'll pull him up on the phone if it doesn't work.
New internet.
Wait.
You're back, Dan?
Oh, sorry. I've been having some issues today with my internet. Is it? Am I
now
good?
Now we're back.
It's working now.
All right.
So, so much to talk about, and also a little Nancy Grace talk, because Gina does a spot on Nancy Grace as well.
I look forward to that.
TV show Court Cam presents Under Oath, new episodes Wednesdays, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific on A&E. Tell us about the show.
The show basically looks at these interesting murder cases through the lens of the defendant when the defendant takes the witness stand, which is rare.
Right.
Defendants don't take the witness stand all that often for the most obvious reason, which is most of the time they're guilty. It's not a good idea. But in these cases, we got 20 of them so far, the defendants take the gamble of taking the witness stand to try to prove to the jury that either they didn't do it or it was self-defense or there's a good explanation, et cetera. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, for someone who's covered trials as long as I have, when you get to a trial where a defendant actually takes the witness stand, it's a really big deal. And sort of everything else kind of stops. And that's what makes it so interesting. So I've always thought that there was a series to do on defendants who take the witness stand, and so now we're doing it.
That sounds awesome.
It's interesting because it could go one of two ways. One being innocent and wants to proclaim me innocence, or nothing to lose.
Right.
You know, I'm guilty anyway.
But that's always the main story, even with, you know, Derek Chauvin and how many back, OJ, whoever. Everybody wants to know, will they take the stand? You're right. That's the question that has the media buzzing.
And then when they do, the whole case comes down to that.
Right.
Right, meaning like nothing else matters after the defendant takes the witness stand. It's just like...
Seized up.
See, nothing else matters.
Well, maybe we'll try to get him on the phone. I always love OJ when he's trying to put the bloody glove on. And I always,
you tried, man.
The pomp, the circumstance.
Tried hard.
Always liken it to those late night commercials, those infotainment commercials where they're trying to sell you the spaghetti colander that's built into the pot. And they go, you tried it the old way. And the guy just dumps the pot on his child, you know, with the colander sitting in the sink.
Like,
right. Hey, you can't pull it off. Like, he was putting that glove on like she was dumping spaghetti into
like the
colander.
Before.
Like, I don't
no
know.
More clumsy now.
You're absolutely right.
All right. Now, I think Dan may be back.
I'm going to try and come back in it. Better way. Hold
okay.
On. He's coming back in a better way. We should all
in a
wish
better
that.
Way. I'm going up to a different. I'm going to go to a different laptop, and I'm going to be back with you guys in a minute because I'm having some problems.
All right. Well, I will filibust here, and I will talk about. Remember, Dan hosted Live PD on A&E, which was the biggest cable show running at the time, and then the George Floyd thing came about.
And, I can imagine it was a cops type show.
Yeah, it was going. It was like live PD. It was like he was at the control room, like home base, and different municipalities, like in the middle of chases and apprehensions, and it was a huge show.
It's the future.
It was cops live.
Yeah, live.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And then the whole George Floyd thing went, and it was like, all right, now
not
we got to get rid
idea.
Of that. But imagine. Having a show that was that successful that it was just like canceled over, you know, obviously a cultural touchstone.
Shift.
All right. So we'll talk to Dan about that. And yeah, Mark Garagos says you really don't put your guy on the stand unless it's time to sort of, it's a Hail Mary move for the most part. You don't want that kind of exposure. I don't know
There's
why.
More to lose.
And also, I think you have to kind of judge your guy.
I was just about to say, cater it to their skills, right? If you have a like eloquent or charismatic person who can protest their innocence,
right?
By all means.
Well, on SVU, they always take the stand.
Well, Mark does a little bit of this in the book Mistrial that I recommend you just read, or I'll read it to you. The audiobook's on Audible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he gets into the nuts and the bolts of that. All right. Well, we'll see where Dan lands in his home.
You want to give us your Fauci theory?
Well, I do, but I was kind of wanting to do it with Dan as well and have him weigh in with all his courtroom experience.
You think
you know?
He secretly started the phrase Fauci ouchie?
That's right. Getting
He's
that going.
The one that got it rolling.
I
got
to commend our society on really never screwing up Fauci's name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you see it written, there's a good chance it wouldn't come out the way it comes out. But we got coached up fast.
You're
and
right.
Nobody has punted. No one's booted that at all.
You're right. You know, the first person that I've ever heard about Dr. Fauci was someone who mispronounced his name, which was at the very beginning of all this, was Dr. Drew, called him Dr. Fauci. And so when I heard Dr. Fauci, I just assumed they were saying it wrong.
Oh, Drew did screw it up. Well,
but he knew who he was. None of us knew who he was.
It reads Fauci, I guess.
It's
but,
one C.
But we've all done a masterful job of doing that. I don't know if we've done as well with Kamala Harris or Kamala.
You mean Kamala?
Kamala.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Dan. You're
sorry
back.
About that.
No, that's
I'm
good.
Yep.
All right. So, yeah. So from the point of view of the defendant who is taking the stand, can you give us some that you remember that stand out?
Yeah, I was just saying that sort of it all ends up coming down to, is that person credible? And the jurors forget everything else. That if you believe the defendant, that's a great, great thing for the defendant. If they don't believe the defendant, the defendant's in a lot of trouble.
I'm wondering, just in terms of gender, have you noticed, do women as defendants take the stand more than men? I'm just assuming that, and I don't know why.
You know, it's a good question. And we do have in a lot of episodes, women who took the stand. And in a lot of the cases.
We'll never know.
Well, we might have to phone Dan up, perhaps.
I hope this isn't some kind of a flimsy excuse to get out of talking
anything.
To me, because I have seen other approaches. And let me just tell you, Dan, if that's your real name, this excuse is not going to sit well with this audience.
Do we have some of Dan and Nancy Grace? Are the clip you were speaking of?
The explanation of her disappearance. I mean, ladies, are any of you mothers? Mothers, raise your hands. I mean, it would be over my cold, dead body that someone would take me away from my children to grow up with.
Nothing better than when ladies raise your hands, and the lady raises her hand instantly before they can ask the question. Yeah. Before she, who amongst us?
She's
a,
good.
There was a hand up. There was an idiot had their hand up.
Well, she's a carnival barker.
If they said podcasters raise your hand, I'd probably throw a hand up there. Like vintage racers applying. Raise a hand. Now, how many are pedophiles? Oh,
well, hands up.
All right, sorry, guys.
Are any of you mothers, raise your hands. I mean, it would be over my cold, dead
body
that someone would take me away from my children to grow up without me in their life. No way. She had never gone missing before. She had never left her family before. And the explanation, she went off with some boyfriend. I am not buying that. Then the threats. She told people.
Hold on a second. I do love, Nancy's one of these people that does this thing where they go, that 14-year-old was killed while walking home from school. You know what they should be doing right now? They should be planning their graduation. Oh, they're not going to get their learner's permit.
No prom.
No STDs.
No homecoming.
No. Well, let's be realistic. Yeah. There's, that blows
no
your way,
no unplanned
too.
Pregnancy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Nancy does a lot of things that idiots sound like. To them, it sounds good. Like, they never did this before. Yeah, no one ever does anything before the first time they do it. The first time they do it, they never do it before that.
All right, let's not beat up on the woman. She's a national treasure. Sorry, go ahead.
Buying that. Then the threats. She told people, which is hearsay in court, that he had threatened to kill her. She told a lot of people. Yeah. And what is the strongest evidence to me is his behavioral evidence. And I know how you feel
that's
about
giving
it.
Her look like it.
God, compared to the rest of the stuff, you have the behavior.
See, I knew you would say that. But ladies, let me speak to you.
Raise your hands. Mm.
And he cuts her. Yeah.
Oh, he's on line one.
Oh, okay, he cuts her off, and she rips him in the next 30 seconds of that.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Dan. Dan's on line one. Dan, we're playing a clip of you and Nancy Grace.
Oh. She's not like to be talked over.
Can we just hear you being ripped by Nancy Grace, please?
Please.
All right, we'll just finish that.
Let's cherish the moment.
Let's cherish it.
This is my opinion, but let me give you the three reasons
she's
why
giving
I
you
think
the stink eye.
He has not been charged in connection with Stacey's death. First of all,
I never got to my third reason, but go ahead. I'd be mad if you didn't. Just jump in. Go ahead.
That was your third.
I didn't get to my third, but I'm
your
gonna say
behavioral
I'm
was
gonna
your third.
I'm going to ambush you with it. Go ahead.
Wow.
Icy.
Calling her shot.
Nancy, you got Dan on the blower now.
I have been dreaming of this moment since the day we taped that episode. Dan, is it? Dan? Ladies, raise your hand. Raise your hand if you've had enough of men interrupting you when you have not gotten to your third point. So what if point number two has 14 different exhibits? I hadn't gotten to my third point. But ladies, raise your hand if you're sick of being interrupted by male chauvinists like Dan here.
Dan, who likes to drive his Porsche.
Oh,
on
you
Park
know the
Avenue.
Kind of man I'm talking about. The Porsche on Park Avenue. Well, wham for Dan.
Yep. Oh, I know it well.
Am I triggering you?
Dan's shuddering.
You are.
What are they?
Bringing back some very, very, very scary memories.
Do you have a Porsche, Dan?
You know what's really funny is when she made that comment to me, and she said this on Good Morning America, she accused me of driving a Porsche down Park Avenue. I did not have a Porsche, but since then, I actually do.
Oh, she gave you a good idea.
I knew it.
Well,
she did. I was like, wow, that's the guy I want to be.
Yeah, why don't I have a Porsche?
Well, maybe she's just doing alliteration, like, or is Buick down Bleecker Street, like.
Yeah,
he picks his pickled peppers like everybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
How was Nancy when the camera light turned off?
Oh, she was great. I mean, Nancy knows how to put on a show. And, she believes the stuff she says, but
just say Nancy's
also,
Nancy.
I think she can just say it in a way that is a bit more aggressive than maybe she really is in real life. Because actually, she is a really kind of great person off camera, and sort of, you know, she's lovely. So we got along quite well off camera.
She does do her best, it seems, to be intimidating, or maybe it comes naturally. There was another clip where she was kind of going after the attorney, and she's like, "You look me in the eye." Oh, we have it. "You look me in the eye." And it would be like looking into the Ark of the Covenant. Like, I wouldn't be able to do it.
Well, let's hear that one. Go ahead.
I can't say what my client told me. That's privileged.
Now, let me ask you this. When you wake up in the morning, you're making me rethink the whole legal profession, Joel Brodsky. Mm-hmm. When you wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you're brushing your teeth, you don't think, "I've let those children grow up without a mother, and they may think right now that she abandoned them when I know she didn't, that she's dead."
Okay. Well, I mean, listen, I get... Clients
no,
tell me
look
things
at me
all.
In the
well, clients
eye
tell me all things
and
all the time.
Me that.
Clients tell me things all the time that are very disturbing. And as an attorney, it's privileged. I can't talk.
I'm talking about these children that have grown up thinking there's a sliver of a chance that their mother left them high and dry. Look, you know, right here. It's a
look him in the eye.
Wow. Right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of. It's a lot of theater, but I guess we probably knew that, right?
And we love it.
Respond to it.
You know? Yeah.
She's a big star.
So, Dan, I'm sorry. Before we cut you off, we're talking about women taking the stand versus men taking the stand. I was thinking about crying, which is effective.
Sure.
And I was thinking about women crying. But if you could get a few tears out of a guy.
Oh, now you're sailing.
That's pretty damn important.
Well, you know, it's interesting because... You know, and I'm just thinking of it anecdotally in terms of the stories we did where women take the stand. There's not a ton of tears, meaning it's pretty, you know, I think they recognize, and I bet you their lawyers tell them this, which is crying is dangerous stuff, because if the jurors don't believe it's authentic, if they think that any of those tears aren't real, you're done. And so I will bet that any defendant who takes the stand, if there's a chance you're going to cry, it's got to be, you know, everything matters when you take the stand. I mean, it's like what you're wearing matters. How you say it matters. Where you look matters. How you look matters. So all this stuff is so important that if a defendant starts crying, boy, it better have been timed perfectly, seemed totally authentic, et cetera. Because, you know, I mean, this is, their lives are literally on the line. I mean, some of these cases are death penalty cases.
How many cases, Dan, have you been involved in that you can remember where you just completely saw it 100% different from the juror? Like, you were there, you heard the information, you watched everything, and you're like, I know this is how this is going to go. And they went guilty or they went innocent. What's the percentage on that with you?
So I'll separate it out into cases where I thought the jury got, like O.J. Simpson, right? Like, I strongly believed that he would be found not guilty, even though I was convinced he was guilty.
Uh-huh.
So that one wasn't a surprise. I will tell you the case that was a surprise to me, that was a high-profile one, was the Casey Anthony case.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Casey Anthony would be convicted. She wasn't convicted. It's not very often that after watching the entirety of a trial, that I'll get it totally wrong. And that's not because I'm great. It's just because when you are sitting there every day watching a case and you're getting to see the jurors, et cetera, you get a pretty good sense of what's going to happen. And that's why I say that in something like the Casey Anthony case, to have gotten it just, you know, wrong, was a little jarring.
Did she drown her kids in the tub? What was her thing?
Back of the car.
No, she was the one.
The lake.
Yeah, who buried her child in the backyard. And the question, you know, was whether she did it. She sort of pointed the finger at her dad, potentially blaming him. And, you know, it was, in my view, it wasn't, you know, a particularly close or tough case. And the jurors, I think, got really hung up on the legal standard, which is, you know, good for them in the sense that they followed the reasonable doubt. They felt that they had reasonable doubt as to whether she did it. But, you know, this is the woman who went partying after her daughter had died. and they found her car abandoned. And I mean, there was an enormous amount of evidence.
Just sorry,
against her.
A real quick retraction. That was Susan Smith that drove the car into the lake.
Oh. And then
Correct.
To get these confused.
Casey Anthony just killed her kid, or allegedly.
There's something involving a trunk. There's something involving a trunk.
God, we really don't remember this.
Susan Smith, different story. Casey Anthony, they found her car abandoned, and they said there was testimony that it's, quote, smelled like death in there. There was enormous amounts of evidence. But so the answer to your question broadly is, it's rare. It's really rare that I will have been following a case from beginning to end and just totally have misread the jury on it and get it totally wrong.
What about these instances? Like, again, spend a lot of time chatting with Mark Garagos, and he'll tell us a lot of instances. One that jumps out was the Harvey Weinstein case, which is, what was going on in the courtroom versus what was being reported was a two different cases in his mind. Like he said, I had people in that courtroom and they were saying something completely different to me than you would see on the evening news that night. Is that something that you've experienced, Dan?
I think Garagos is overstating that. I think that, for example, in the Scott Peterson case, when Garagos represented Scott Peterson, he would complain of that all the time. And I sat in the courtroom during the Peterson case. And, the reporting was generally quite accurate. Do reporters make mistakes? Absolutely. Are there reporters who cover trials who don't understand the law? Definitely. But the notion that sort of, it's a completely different story being told, that's to me advocacy by Mark rather than reality.
He loves that Weinstein. What's your take in general on trials being covered, being broadcast, televised? Yeah. Photographers versus sketch artists?
Yeah. So I have a big bias here in that, I started a network called Law and Crime Network, which covers trials 24/7. I am very much in the business of covering live trials. And I believe that it's a good thing. I think that the Derek Chauvin case is a great example of a case where there was a camera in the courtroom, and I'm glad there was, so the public could see for itself what was the evidence, what was presented, how did the jury come to its verdict. I mean, people forget that courtrooms were built with galleries so that people, citizens, could come and watch. I mean, it wasn't just so family members could sit there. It was so the public could see, in the case of the people of the state of California versus blank, how the prosecutor, who is presumably representing the people of the state of California, is performing and doing in a case. So, I've long believed that. I was back at Court TV in the early days, and I think at Law and Crime Network, we're now sort of ensuring that people can get to see some of the highest profile and sometimes most important cases of the day.
Well, so that leads us to a can of worms, Dan, that I don't know if you have an opinion on. I don't know if you have a prediction, but do you think based on what you're talking about, do you think Donald Trump will get indicted? And then what will that trial be like? That would be the biggest circus. I can only imagine what the coverage will even approach.
So I think as of right now, all the signs point towards a likely indictment. And the reason for that is, first of all, you've got this enormous fight over the tax returns, right? The DA wins that fight. Once the DA wins that fight, a special prosecutor is brought in who's got unique experience relevant to this kind of case. When I say special prosecutor, I mean, this is a guy who was working, making a lot of money in private practice, who comes over to just work on this for the Manhattan District Attorney's Office and begin the process of evaluating the evidence, et cetera. And then they impanel a special grand jury, meaning up to that point, there had really been different grand juries which they'd used to try and subpoena documents, et cetera. Now there's this grand jury which is focusing on this case. which is terrible news for Donald Trump and the Trump Organization. Does that mean he's definitely going to get indicted? No. Does it mean that if we weren't talking about Donald Trump, that any legal analyst would tell you this is a really bad sign for your client? Yes. So if that were to happen, if he is indicted, I think it's going to be it won't be televised because in New York, it's very rare in New York state for cameras to be allowed into courtrooms. But the jury selection process in that case is obviously going to be critical.
That's a good point.
Well, a couple things. I would argue that now that we've signed off on most cops wearing cameras, we could extend that logic into the courtroom.
Yeah.
If you guys are in a room watching video footage of the cop arresting someone, I think we've established cameras are around and they're being used. And why shouldn't we be able to watch you watching the camera that was on the cop?
Yeah, and I think you have to now because if somebody, if whatever group doesn't like the way it went down, they'll just say you did it wrong with no proof.
Also, is there a human being over the last 5 years who has been on camera more than Donald Trump?
No.
No.
Is there, Dan, I would imagine that they're rolling at least a Ring doorbell camera in there just to capture.
Just to have.
The archive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, or I mean, they have stenographers, but you know, I mean, just to go.
For the
here's
record.
What, for the record. Is that true?
No. Sometimes there'll be a security camera in the courtroom, but it's not, you know, designed for the purposes of showing the defendant and showing the trial and having that would be a stenographer in the courtroom. But, you know, but it is interesting to think about jury selection. Right. And I think that there are two examples I would give. You know, number one is, again, coming back to the O.J. Simpson case, is after the O.J. Simpson criminal case, they had to find a jury down the road in Santa Monica for the O.J. Simpson civil case. So the whole world had followed this case. Right. And now you have to figure out a way to find a jury for the same trial, for the same evidence, with many of the same lawyers, not all of them, but many of the same lawyers, with the same witnesses, et cetera. And I was stunned in Santa Monica watching jury selection. How many people just still hadn't followed the case that closely? Meaning, yeah, they knew Johnny Cochran. They knew O.J. had been found not guilty. They knew something about allegations of racism. But they didn't know all of the details of the case. It's obviously a little different when you're talking about someone like Donald Trump, who, you know, people are going to have very strong opinions about. But the other example I would give, and this connects to a new book I have out about Jack Ruby, is, you know, when Jack Ruby shot Lee Harvey Oswald in front of the world, right? I mean, the video was seen live. Jack Ruby's trial, then, they had to find jurors. And one of the things the defense wanted to argue was, they've all been witnesses to the crime. So none of them should be, anyone who saw the video or saw it live or later should not be a witness should not be a juror in the Jack Ruby case. It was not an argument that succeeded, and they moved forward with the case. But I guess my broader point is that, you know, there have been a number of very high profile cases where people have said, you know, you'll never be able to find a jury, et cetera. And they have been able to find juries.
All right. Well, we were talking about Garagos earlier. I do a podcast with him called Reasonable Doubt. I floated my Dr. Fauci conspiracy theory. I thought, Dan, you can pick it apart with your legal expertise, but maybe Nancy Grace could defend it.
I'd love to.
So this is from the show we did yesterday, which was... was it Beyond a Reasonable Doubt?
Yeah.
I think it's our little supplementary thing. And I've been floating conspiracy theories lately, so this is my latest. Here's my synopsis of what's going to happen with Fauci. I think it's my gun in the nightstand theory, which is you have a gun in your nightstand. You're not going to use it on anybody. You're not going to hurt anybody with it. It's there for home protection.
Hold on.
But... should we set the table? Maybe I should set the table on it a little bit. This is Fauci and his connection possibly to the Wuhan lab and sort of wanting to distance himself initially from that theory. So here's my synopsis of what's going to happen with Fauci. I think it's my gun in the nightstand theory, which is you have a gun in your nightstand. You're not going to use it on anybody. You're not going to hurt anybody with it. It's there for home protection, but it's not put in a safe and the and it's loaded. But you still didn't really do anything. But one day you come home and you see the gun is gone. And you go, oh, shit, where's the gun? Then the next day you hear that the neighbor kid was shot. And now you go, oh, shit, somebody stole my gun and shot the neighbor kid. I'm fucked. And then somebody says, you know what? I think it was a gangbanger who shot the neighbor kid in a drive-by. And you go, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's exactly what happened. That's what happened. The neighbor. And then I go on the news. I go, did you hear about the gangbanger? He shot the neighbor kid. They're still looking for him. But that's what happened. And I'm thinking, oh, fuck. Bullet dodge. Pardon the pun. Which is, I wasn't nefarious. Like, I wasn't trying to harm anyone with this gun. But I did kind of store it carelessly. And I probably, it would have gotten back to me. There would have been some liability. I would have been in trouble. So when you do the theory of the drive-by with the gangbanger, which is the pangolin theory and the bat theory, I go, oh, yeah, that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. That is my Fauci gun in the nightstand theory. Doesn't make him a criminal, doesn't make him a bad guy, just makes him know something. And when he found out the bat theory, he went, yeah, that's good. That's what happened. Dan, what do you think of the theory?
Well, the first problem with the theory is that it would make him a bad guy. I mean, it would make him a terrible guy.
Well, who amongst us wouldn't do the nightstand thing, though? Wouldn't I?
Well, no. But the claim is that he's lying. I mean, it's not just that it's that he's now corrupt, right?
My feeling is it could have gone this way or it could have gone that way. This one is an easier angle for him. Yes. I don't know. Well, in a way, it kind of makes him human.
I mean, keep going, Dan.
Yeah, keep going.
Okay, but the way you characterized it, to say it doesn't make him a bad guy, it would make him a terrible guy. If your theory using that reasoning is what happened here, you know, that's corruption on the part of Anthony Fauci. That means he's a dishonest guy. It's not sort of saying, well, you know, there were one or two ways, and he sort of leaned a little bit more because it might look better for him. You're saying he picked something.
Well, I don't know. I feel like this is commonplace these days. Like, I don't know anyone who wouldn't have leaned at least that direction. But, okay. Well, I don't know. I find it to be more human than evil.
To me, the human piece would be to say he didn't want to believe it. Right. If you want to say, you know, he knew the researchers and he trusted them and, you know, maybe he was naive, et cetera.
Well, I should have said he didn't know the gun was used against the neighbor, but he understood it was a possibility. Mm-hmm. And when he heard about the gangbanger theory, that should have been more nuanced. Right. I should have said he didn't know, heard about the gangbanger and went in, which is something I think most humans would definitely do. But Nancy, would you like to defend the theory?
Ladies, raise your hand if you keep a gun in your nightstand. You know, don't bother. I know you do. We all do. We'll all raise our hands. We want to be protected from predators preying on our children at night, preying on our helpless sleeping bodies. Now, if you tell me that you can't keep a gun in a nightstand to protect your children who are going to be snatched in the night, then I don't want to be in a country that wouldn't support that. I absolutely believe that Dr. Fauci should be able to keep a gun in his nightstand to protect his family from thieves, robbers, and predators.
It was a metaphor.
Yeah, I'm not...
Huh? What's that?
I'm not sure it made sense, but that was fire.
That was good. Yeah, I'm glad you're in my camp.
Dr. Fauci has the right to defend his family. Raise your hand if you agree with me.
I'm a mother. I mean, a father.
Thank you. Thank you.
She got me thinking I'm a mother.
Which Porsche you have now, Dan? I like Porsches.
Yeah, I have a McCann, you know, the family vehicle. Yeah, it's not like a cool, it's not like a sports car. And,
it's,
you know,
it's I think Dr. Drew.
Not a hot rod.
Dr. Drew has some
he did.
One, yeah, something like
yeah,
that.
Sorry. He had to join that elite fraternity. Let me give you a plug, Dan. The TV show Court Cam presents Under Oath, new episodes Wednesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern. And you can also check out the podcast, the Dan Abrams podcast as well, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podcast One as well. And shoot him a tweet at Dan Abrams. Dan, sorry about the technical glitch, but I think we had a good conversation anyway.
It was great. No, the technical was on my side, so sorry about that.
And the book, by the way, Kennedy's Avenger, and it's available now on Amazon. Dan, come join us again, and thanks for the coaching.
I'd love to. I'd love to come back. See you guys.
Thanks, Dan.
Excited about that show.
Yeah,
the
me
Defendants,
too.
Yeah.
Talk about X-Chair here. I love my new X-Chair, and to be candid, I got the X-Chair before this X-Chair. This is not my first X-Chair. The secret is the patented DVL, Dynamic Variable Lumbar Support. It's the new XHMT technology for heat and massage therapy while I'm sitting. It is so nice. And now I look forward to spending hours in that chair. XHMT delivers heat massage technology right to my core, helping increase blood flow, muscle recovery, and energy. And there's four different massage modes and fast-warming heat technology as well. Feel the X-Chair difference for yourself. Trust me, there is one. It's X-Chair, right, Dawson?
X-Chair is on sale now for $100 off. Go to xchairadam.com. Now, that's the letter X, chair, ADAM.com, or call 1-844-4X-CHAIR. X-Chair has a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort, and you can finance your purchase. With as little as $30 a month, go to xchairadam.com now and use code XWHEELS for free X-Wheel Blade Casters. xchairadam.com.
All right, quick break. Come back with the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden, Kamala. Meet news with Gina, Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
There is a massive cicada invasion taking over parts of the East and Midwest, and they're beginning to wreak havoc in D.C., where the swarm of cicadas is so large, they've actually appeared on weather radar. It was crazy. It looked like, you know, maybe a little storm. Nope, cicadas. They're annoying but mostly harmless insects. They managed to swarm the White House press plane, delaying its flight to Europe. Joint Base Andrews. President Biden was seen swatting cicadas from his neck. He was about to board Air Force One. A cicada is also being blamed for a car accident in Cincinnati. Police say the driver lost control when a giant cicada flew into the window and was fluttering on his face. The vehicle swerved off the road, slammed into a utility pole. The driver suffered minor injuries. The cicada was found dead on the floorboard.
Oh, no.
They are coming.
Always travel the dead cicada in case you get pulled over.
In case you swerve, yeah.
Also, you know, there's a lot of them because they're talking about recipes.
Yes, everyone's talking about whether you should eat cicadas. Or not eat cicadas.
Should you?
Well, like in Thailand, like you know, like a street market, that's very common.
I guess everything is just, they're all just protein.
Right.
Seems
water
weird.
Bugs, shrimp. I mean, they look like cockroaches.
Yeah, I guess so. We have a weird relationship with shit we'll eat. But
if it's
who
in the
was
water.
It? Wasn't it... God, I'm trying to think. What celebrity chick was pitching eating insects?
Angelina Jolie.
I mean, you know, take them, ground them up, protein, feed them to dogs, you know, whatever.
Well, that was a big thing on Shark Tank at least once. I'm sure it's come back, but it's, you know, like protein shake. It's ground. It's powder. You don't know what's in it. I would drink that.
God knows how many cicada legs are in whatever
hot
you buy and hot
yeah.
dogs and stuff anyway. Yeah, I think they make crazy noises too. Is that correct?
Yeah, they actually make my favorite noise, and I don't like the idea of swarms of them, but like it is very Kansas in the twilight, like walking home from the pool when the sun's going down, hearing like
and I didgeridoo.
I love mm-hmm. that sound. It's very Kansas in the summer, but I don't want to see them on the radar. So be careful and take cover. Actually, somebody posted on Facebook just from their iPhone how loud it was inside their house because the cicadas were in the backyard. I'll see if I can find that. And opened the door, and it was like a decibel level that's not like you're supposed to have headphones on. Like it's too loud.
Don't you think insanely religious people are thinking about hiking to the mountaintop about now?
It's like,
we got a black female vice president. Yeah. We got cicadas.
Texas signs all around you.
Freezing over.
We got this COVID-19 blowing right. around here.
What like, more evidence do you want?
I'm going up that mountain.
Absolutely.
And I'm waiting. Rapture's coming.
Well, you can now tell the world how you feel about going back to work, and you don't even have to say anything. A growing number of businesses and gathering places are handing out color-coded wristbands modeled on traffic lights to explain kind of your vibe and what you're willing to sort of endure and what you're not. So according to Wall Street Journal, places like, say, Virginia's Chamber of Commerce are using red wristbands when you want to wear them and say, don't touch me, no exceptions. Mm-hmm. Yellow to mean elbow bumps only, and folks wearing green letting you know that hugs are welcome.
Mm. Well, I already have that. When I see a douche with a bunch of bracelets, I'm like, that guy, he doesn't want a handshake.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
I have seen, I won't say whose, but I have seen on other people's wedding invitations that very, very strict COVID rules, like you have to give, a negative reading,
test
whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like 72 hours before and, you know, their temperature checks at the door. And I've seen ones that are handing out ribbons for color-coded ribbons if you want people to stay away from you at the wedding. I don't plan on doing that. But do you think I should?
I don't know. I'm always kind of torn on, like, the handshake. It spreads things, but we're humans. It's important.
The hug, you're going right past them.
Yeah, the hug. And then there's people get so delighted over the elbow bump. Like, hey! We're doing it. We're in elbow bumps. I don't know. Maybe the Japanese have it right with the bowing. Shows decorum, respect, you know.
Hi. People ask how much longer, like, handshakes aren't coming back, but how much longer do we have to reference it? Like, hey, I can't shake your hand. Like, when's that going to go away?
I didn't even know that COVID was spread that way, or it wasn't.
If you shook someone's hand and then rubbed your eye or bit your nails or something.
Well,
touch your face.
That's what they started saying, but evidently nobody did that, or it just didn't turn out to be a vector of spreading. It all seems to be aerosolized.
Tessa had her little preschool graduation on Friday, and when they handed them the medals, by the way, medals is what they get now, and they gave them elbow bumps.
Oh, yeah, good. Cute. Indoctrinate the next group.
Gina, at your wedding.
Into them.
Yeah.
You should have everyone bow at you.
Have everyone
that
bow.
That would be great. I would love that. Okay. Yeah. But, you know, do you guys know what an oof roof is?
No.
Probably not.
I don't know gay slang.
It's supposed to be the Shabbat, the Saturday before your wedding, where you go up on stage at the synagogue and they announce you're getting married and everyone pelts candy at you, like pelts it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're I don't know if they're still doing that, but I'll let you people know.
Don't invite Sandy Koufax to another oof roof.
So some things are getting back to normal. Indiana Jones is getting back to normal, and there's photographic evidence. Harrison Ford was photographed in his iconic costume.
We were talking about Sandy Koufax the other day because we're talking about him with John Taffer owning the hotel.
That hotel, Tropicana.
You know, he was like, there are only a handful of superstar Jews in the league.
Right.
And so if you talk to... And there's a lot of Jewish baseball fans, but they didn't feel like they were represented.
Right.
So they all love Sandy Koufax
because
that's my guy. That's what you want to
be. Sandy Koufax.
Yeah, that's who you want to be. You want to be that
guy
who lives amongst none other who are like you, and then you'll be the favorite.
No matter what.
Yeah, if you're the Goyim, then you got to whack it up against about Steve Garvey.
Steve Hildekind. Was it Airplane or Airplane 2? Where
the pamphlet.
Yeah, he says, I would like some light reading.
Right.
Here's a pamphlet on famous Jewish athletes.
Right.
I think that was the second one. I don't remember. But
I think it was the first one.
Indiana Jones is back. Harrison Ford pictured in his iconic costume on the set of the fifth installment of the franchise. And he has a little mask on. Everybody's masked up. Actor Josh Gad shared the picture on his Instagram account, writing, "All is right with the world. Welcome back, Dr. Jones. It's the first time the now..." I'm sorry. Take a guess. How old is Harrison Ford?
83.
Yeah, he's 80-something.
Close. 78.
No.
Has worn the indie costume since 2008, Indiana Jones Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. This will come to theaters next July.
Is he still banging around with what's her name?
Was it Calista Flockhart?
Yes.
I haven't heard otherwise.
I see his plane all the time.
You do?
Yeah, he has a yellow biplane. It's impossible to miss, and it flies around our neighborhood.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
Because we're at Santa Monica.
Is it a biplane or just a yellow old plane?
We can look up.
Is it the one he crashed?
Crash landed. Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, I think that was a single wing plane, it's old timey.
And it's
single
yellow.
Wing.
Well, not double.
Yeah. That didn't
just the right size.
Adam, I don't know anything about planes, but I don't think you're right about that.
Well, you know, buys, though. Calista Flockhart was Allie McBeal.
Allie McBeal.
No.
Yes.
I thought that was what's her name with the red hair.
He was with the Ellen's ex.
Portia de Rossi?
No, the Anne Heche.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Or was it just the movie?
I thought they were romantically.
We all sound like we're going insane, by the way.
It was just the movie.
They did a movie where the crash landed on an island, right?
6 days, 7 nights.
Yeah. Calista Flockhart, I've not seen her. What's
hide
she
nor
doing?
Hair. Is she like Phoebe Cates, where it's like I'm with a nice actor and I kind of want to just do my thing as a.
She could be directing or some.
Is she?
Max Bat, a big Allie McBeal fan?
Well, no. They looked that up. Jake Tapper tweeted that Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom was the worst Spielberg movie.
What?
Forgetting, of course, that the abortion known as the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull existed.
Wait, that was the worst?
Oh, that's.
Temple of Doom?
That's what Jake Tapper said.
He's come on.
But the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, it's Indiana Jones 4, the most recent one, abortion of the film.
I think the last one I saw was The Last Crusade.
So what are like, we have high hopes here for a big comeback, Brian?
In as much as I hope everyone realizes what the mistake was of the last film, they're trying to rewrite history and try to end on a high note. Yes, I hope that cooler heads prevail, because the last one was a disaster.
Well, but like I said, what I want, and I think what a lot of fans want, is a sequel to the first Indiana Jones. We're not getting that, right? That's not what the fifth installment is. It's not a sequel to Raiders of the Lost Ark, like specifically that story.
As much as it's the same character many years on.
He's married to Calista in 2010. Let me make this perfect metaphor that has to do with automobiles. Shall I?
Mm-hmm.
These big tentpole franchises, they go along the same direction as iconic cars.
Okay.
So somebody comes up with the Ford Mustang in 1964, and everyone loves it, and it's perfect. You know what I mean? It's simple, something we haven't seen before, but effective and functional and all the good things that one of those first-run movies is. And then at some point, they go, we got a real franchise here. We got this name, Mustang. We're going to kick it up a notch, and we're going to save some money, too. And they start coming up with like the Mustang 2 and the Mustang Cobra 2 and stuff. And it becomes a parody. It becomes a joke.
Right.
Like you look at an old, you know, and then you'd say to someone, well,
like a 1990 Mustang?
Yeah, or even 80s or something, or 70s. Right. Even like you'd go, would you like, if you said to any car guy, would you like a 1965 Mustang? They go, boy, would I. And you'd go, you like a 1978 Mustang? They go, get the fuck out of here. It's such a joke. Right. So then, but at some point they go, you know what? Let's resurrect the name. Let's get back to basics.
Coke
Bring
classic.
It back.
Reclaim our soul.
And eventually the Mustang is a good car again, and the Corvette and all these sort of big
punchlines
franchises got back to their basics. Yeah. And I feel like movies kind of do. They do that. They spin out. They become cartoons. And then at some point they go, we got to reel it in. We got to get back to the basics. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they have done that.
God willing.
I read it quickly, but there's a new woke problem with Indiana Jones. Mm. I saw a quick article, you know what I'm going to say?
Yeah. Well, I have a suspicion.
Ryan, what do you think it
is? Well, Marion was implied that she was very young
They've come out to say Indiana Jones is not a pedophile because in that little tete-a-tete they have, that little argument, she, you know, when he, her father was mad at him for the professor, you know, dating her, and she goes, I was a child. And now what? That's a thing. Was it a 30-year-old movie?
40-year-old movie? Exactly, 40.
Yeah, so that's a thing now. Guess what other movie's being remade, speaking of cars? The Stephen King novel Christine is getting another movie adaption. Star Trek Discovery creator Brian Fuller, who's also writing the script, is attached to make the feature directing debut. The story, you know the story, a haunted 1958 Plymouth Fury was made into a movie in 1983 with director John Carpenter.
Fury Road.
That was like a big deal, that movie, but I never really got it.
The car that killed.
And it's also, it took so little to impress the moviegoers back then. Like, you just need the scene where the chick was like standing in front of the garage door and then the car pulled up and stopped at night and then revved the engine and flashed the high beams. I'm like, oh! Not a lot going on. Well, please, no one remake Cujo.
That was my next question.
It's a fucking St. Bernard.
He had rabies.
Actually, that's nice. Funny. On the film vault, we did movies that need to be remade. Cujo was on my list.
Oh, no.
They had to cut around the dog so much. It was so awkward because they couldn't have the dog attacking someone.
Frothing.
It was right. Very stilted. It's like now a CGI, like how they did I Am Legend with the dogs. Like, you could have that dog fuck someone up.
But all it is a rabid dog.
Yeah, but it's terrifying.
It's not like haunted or anything.
He's trying to get in the car.
I know. I remember that.
That's funny you mentioned the car thing with the lights and the honking. It's all in the execution because Duel by Steven Spielberg, there is honking and lights in a car, is terrifying. Not terrifying, suspenseful.
Yeah.
And then this fucking Christine movie is nonsense.
The great Dennis Weaver.
Well, one more.
McCloud.
Ooh.
He rode a horse into New York City.
And?
He was like, they used to love all these sort of fish out of water things, like McCloud. He was like a sheriff rancher from Wyoming. And next thing you know, he showed up at the big city and he's got his own breed of justice. Yeah, McCloud was Crocodile Dundee before Crocodile Dundee. Although Dennis Weaver, he had some range. He was also
Dennis Weaver
was McCloud. Dennis Weaver also was the game warden in Florida for Gentle Ben. Gentle
that?
Ben was the Cujo of his time.
Okay.
Kid by the name of Clint Howard.
I've
Ron
heard of
Howard's,
him. That's right.
Older brother stars as the kids who lived in Florida and had a giant bear in a fan boat. Oh, my God. I was sitting in North Hollywood rotting away in this piece of shit house staring at this guy with a fan boat and a bear in Florida.
He had everything.
I was like,
what I wouldn't give.
They put the bear on the deck of the fan boat.
Okay.
And they show him just going along the Everglades. And I was like, you know, asphalt everywhere, black and white TV. There's no nature, flora, fauna. No. I was like, oh, the Everglades.
Sweet freedom.
Find the beginning of Gentle Ben. You're going to see a bear on a fan boat going through the Everglades.
It's going to knock your socks
with
off.
Clint Howard on that bad boy and Dennis Weaver piloting that thing. It's the greatest.
I can't wait.
It's going to be the greatest.
When you're done with that, find the entirety of Duel.
Look at that.
Oh, that
you got a bear and a fan boat. I'm sitting there in North Hollywood. There was a fucking dumpster and a hi-ho market up the street. Clint Howard's got his little bear cubs.
Hasn't changed a bit.
Here comes Gentle Ben.
Is it a movie or a TV show?
A TV show. Starred Gentle Ben.
Huh.
Who had to be put down after mauling one of his
owners. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. No, I don't know what happened to Gentle Ben, but he was on a fan boat.
Yeah,
that's
freedom.
Put the bear on the front of the boat and they're hauled ass through the Everglades.
That's good living.
Like, oh, man. That's fresh air, man.
That's right.
Yeah.
Swamp
adventure. Add one more car story because these are always crazy. A team has created a life-size Lamborghini Scion out of Legos. I'll show you a picture. It took 15 people, 8,600 hours to create a car using 400,000 pieces.
That's not an Huracan. It's a Scion. It must be the new supercar or something.
It weighs over 4,800 pounds, which is almost 1,000 pounds more than the actual driving Scion. It said it's a Scion.
Mm.
Wait, look at the inside. The inside is realistic.
What you can do when you're not getting laid.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
The mind knows no bounds, and neither do the loins.
Anything more powerful than a bored nerd?
Right.
Yeah.
The loins only know bounds.
Right. Yeah, a lot of boundaries on the loins, but the mind shall go into outer space.
Free. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. You guys, you haven't gotten into that. You guys not gotten into the Lego world with your kids yet?
I have been to Legoland, and it is very impressive, all that
stuff.
No,
I'm talking about the stupid fucking games everyone gets you.
Oh.
No.
Well, so what do you mean the games?
Well, what'll happen
the elaborate
is
set.
People will start getting you. People will get you presents, and the presents will be like, "This is the space shuttle, yes, along with the launching pad, yes, along with Cape Canaveral," and then you open up with 7,000 pieces just all loose in a bag. And then at some point you get the instructions out that are English and Mandarin, you know, and you're like, take part A, B, and attach to B75. And it's like, you're just looking at it going, are you fucking kidding me? There's no way we're going to. And then you step on the Lego.
Of course. That's the worst
part. And
your
kid's pissed that you don't quit your job and dedicate your life full time to building Cape Canaveral out of Lego.
That's true, but we're lucky, and you better look out because someone's coming for you. I told you the little one wants to build things and tell jokes. He says for a living, we'll happily buy him those overpriced Lego sets because he builds them alone.
Oh, if he builds them, then that's
he loves it, and it's quiet in the house for an hour.
Yeah,
we love those.
I don't want to be a one upper, but I have successfully kept Tessa away from the physical Legos. But she loves the Lego movie. I got her in the Lego movie.
Lego movie's great.
So good. Great.
All right, let's bring her home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
I'm yo daddy. Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
We get the truck tire changed there, Dawson.
Yeah, the guy who did our internet changed my truck tire while we were doing the show.
He's a hero.
I ran out there and gave him a 20, and he wouldn't take it. He's like, yo, pay it forward. I said, no, I'm buying you lunch. No, pay it forward. I said, no, you're taking the money. And we went back and forth like four or five times, and finally you realized I wasn't going to go anywhere, so we took the money.
Smart. He also yesterday said, he goes, this is a really good show. And I was like, well, thank you. Like, I thought he was like a fan.
That's how
like,
we get listeners.
He goes, yeah, he goes, I've been listening, and this is a great show. So we have to have this guy back more often.
I tried to find a shirt for him in the back, but he's a big fella.
No. Yeah, he's a big dude.
I couldn't find one that was going to fit him.
Hey, not fat, just a big
big
dude.
Fella.
Big, gentle Ben.
All right, we're on the boat of that fan, the deck of the
awesome
fan boat.
Pretty cool.
Was Weaver on that alone with the bear? Did he have the kid?
I saw someone else on
yeah
that.
The kid was on that, too? Clint?
PETA would not have allowed that.
I would watch that shit, and then I would watch Flipper.
Oh,
Flipper.
Faster than lightning.
Flipper was the family that lived in Florida, too,
right,
but they'd be in the water with their pet dolphin.
You must have
like,
loved the Everglades.
I couldn't get a fucking stray dog out of my parents, and these guys are hanging around with a bear and a dolphin.
Yeah.
And I got to sit and watch this charade
in Gentle
on my,
Bendy,
on my stepdad's bed. Because that's where
Ben,
he slept. In
that
fucking
bear
den on a sofa. Ugh. No air conditioning. Huh?
The bear and Gentle Ben on the fan boat. The bear that they use in the show is declawed and detoothed.
Oh, no! That is horrible.
Peter's outraged.
You couldn't really do that these days.
Detoothed!
Yeah. Oh.
You can't even declaw cats anymore.
That's a bad draw as a dentist. Hey, here's your job. Shouldn't we sedate him? Eh. I don't know. Do what you got to do.
Shel Silverstein shit.
Wow, that's fucked up.
And did Flipper still have a blowhole, or they could remove that too?
I think patch that down.
Cork that shit up. Find the beginning of Flipper, and then you'll just know how miserable my childhood was. I just sit and watch this.
That had a good theme song, but a shitty show, really.
I know. It was all just underwater shots of the dolphin, but just imagine, once a year we'd get out to the Santa Monica Bay and wade through the shit. This is Florida. The water was
clear.
So crystal clear, and they're jumping in, and they had their buddy was a dolphin who helped them.
You spent somewhere between 30 and 60 seconds bemoaning how terrible the 70s were yesterday. The clothes, the fashions, the everything, the cars, and here we go.
This was the 60s.
Oh,
I watched the reruns in the 70s.
My bad.
Please. Look at that. Underwater. They have a dolphin friend.
Breaching.
The water's clear. He's looking. He eyeballed. He winked at the camera. The kids, there were like kids who got to hang around, family intact, very loving.
No one is smarter than he.
Dad was a game warden.
Ooh, Luke. Looks like River Phoenix.
Kids were so, they're good looking kids hanging out.
Jones.
And Flipper would, you know, tell him when there was trouble.
Lassie. Underwater Lassie.
He'd have to bust smugglers and stuff like that. Defuse a mine.
Of course.
You know?
What horrors befell the actor playing Flipper?
Oh, yeah. He must have. Flipper. I wonder when Flipper died. The actor playing Flipper?
The dolphin.
The dolphin,
life expectancy of a dolphin?
I don't know. I think.
I have no idea.
Well, they rape people. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're jerks.
Wow. Gentle Ben, the bear, was in a Paul Newman movie.
Oh.
The Life and Times of Judge Roy Bean. He was the bear.
Have you ever heard of that?
Who do you
play? Yeah, I've heard of the movie. We played Roy or Bean. All right, let me tell you about LifeLock. Celebrate getting your COVID-19 vaccine, but don't post your vaccine card on social media. It contains personal info like your name and your birth date. Criminals could use and steal your identity. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day, we put our info at risk on the internet. In an instant, cybercriminals could harm your finances, credit, and your reputation. Good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your info's potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert, and you'll have access to a dedicated restoration specialist. Right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours yours with LifeLock by Norton. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam for 25% off.
I told you guys a million years ago that Ivan Trowers, I think that's how we'd say his name, was a Hungarian. Ivan Trowers, Tours or Towers or something, he was a Hungarian immigrant who did the Flipper and the Gentle Ben. He did like the nature. That was his thing, the Everglades and the cameras underwater and all that kind of stuff. And one of the guys my grandfather met when he came here was Ivan, because they had a little network of Hungarians that they would... Imagine a quaint time when there was like a community, like AOC was going like, what's the government going to help it? It's like you'd show up and you go, there's some other Hungarian guys and they'll help you. Yep. They'll pass the hat. They'll give you a little stipend and they'll help you get jobs in the industry. And they kind of band together and they helped each other out. There's a little group of like Hungarian writers in the 40s. I know. Flipper was played by 5 dolphins.
Whoa.
Come on.
At once. God damn, you're ruining everything for me.
Oh, I'm going to make it even worse. The main dolphin, Kathy, died by suicide.
What?
Ate a bullet.
Yeah. What does that mean?
The pressure got to her.
I guess it's a thing. Dolphins commit suicide.
Did she like
just drown bang
herself against the wall?
She aged out of the industry.
That's right.
Couldn't be a rule.
They started showing her in high def and she got depressed.
But yeah, the trainer said she killed herself due to broken heart.
God.
What broken heart?
Yeah.
She had a broken heart?
Yeah.
Her dolphin mate died or something like that?
No, that has happened. There's another story about a dolphin that was used in a scientific experiment, killed itself after being separated from its human experimenter with whom it had become sexually infatuated.
Oh.
Wow. See, they're very deviant. Other dolphins will withhold food from female dolphins in a pod until she has sex with them.
That works, by the way.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, we'll talk more about this tomorrow because I feel like Flipper killing himself or herself. That's
big deal.
Yeah.
I'm your daddy.
AJ should do that on Hollywood Stories.
That's take right. the stand. All right. Dan Abrams should. Dan Abrams Court Cam presents Under Oath. Watch that on A&E. And until next time, Sam Crow, Dan Abrams, Gina Grad, and Bald Brian say it. Mahalo. That guy's not fit to carry my jock.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Thanks for listening to the show. Check out Gina Grab and Teresa Strasser on Easy Listening and Paul Bryan on the Film Vault. And the rest of us on the water cooler. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and pick up your tickets to see the Ace Man. Get them now at AdamCarolla.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.